The Hanging Valley by Peter Robinson. Read by Simon Slater. It was the most exhilarating feeling in the world. His thighs ached, his calves throbbed, and his breath came in short, sharp gasps. But he had made it. Neil Fellows, humble wages clerk from Pontefract, stood at the summit of Swain's Head Fell. Not that it was an achievement comparable to Sir Edmund Hillary's. After all, the fell was only 1,631 feet high. But Neil was not getting any younger, and the crowd at Baxwell's Machine Tools, where he worked, had taken the mickey something cruel when he told them he was going on a fell-walking holiday in the Yorkshire Dales. "Fell?" taunted Dick Blatchley, one of the mailroom wags. "They'll have fell before they get started, Neil." And they had all laughed. But now, as he stood there in the thin air, his heart beating deep in his chest like the steam-driven pistons in the factory, he was the one to laugh. He pushed his wire-rimmed glasses back up to the bridge of his nose and wiped off the sweat over which they had slid. Next, he adjusted the straps of his rucksack, which were biting into his shoulders. He had been climbing for well over an hour. Nothing too dangerous, no sheer heights, nothing that required special equipment. Fell walking was a democratic recreation, just plain hard work. And it was an ideal day for walking. The sun danced in and out between plump white clouds, and a cool breeze kept the temperature down. Perfect late May weather. He stood in the rough grass and heather with nothing but a few sheep for company, and they had already turned their backs on him and scuttled a safe distance away. Lord of the whole scene, he sat on a weathered limestone boulder to savour the feeling. Back down the fell, he could just make out the northern tip of Swain's Head village from where he had come. He could easily pick out the whitewashed front of the White Rose across the beck and the lichen-covered flagstone roof of the Greenock guest house, where he had spent a comfortable night after the previous day's walking in Wharfdale. He had also enjoyed there a breakfast of sausage, bacon, black pudding, fried bread, grilled mushrooms, tomato, 2 fried eggs, tea, toast and marmalade, before setting off that morning. He stood up to take in the panorama, starting with the west, where the fells descended and rolled into frozen waves to the sea. To the northwest ranged the old, rounded hills of the Lake District. Neil fancied he could see the striding edge along Helvellyn and the occasional glint of sun on Windermere or Ullswater. Next, he looked south, where the landscape hardened into the Pennines, the backbone of England. The rock was darker there, with outcrops of millstone grit ousting the glinting white limestone. Miles of wild, forbidding moorland stretched down as far as Derbyshire. Southwest lay Swainsdale itself, its valley bottom hidden from view. But what astonished Neil, most of all, was a small wooded valley down the eastern slope, just below where he stood. The guidebooks hadn't mentioned anything of particular interest on the route he had chosen. Indeed, one of his reasons for taking it was that nobody was likely to spoil his solitude. Most people, it seemed to Neil, would be off in search of stone circles, old lead mines and historic buildings.